Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
That's the sign that we're out of the green room.
Yes. And when I say we're on break, you're not safe. welcome to episode 60 of the Webcomic Beacon. I'm Fess of PSIWebcomic.com, and this is the Webcomic Beacon at WebcomicBeacon.com. And with me, my co-host, Tanya Higgins. Hello.
Hello, hello.
And she's from the NotUpdatingBetaPwn.com.
BetaPwn returns February 1st.
Sure it does.
You heard it here like 72nd.
Right. And we also have Dark Mark with us as well from AutumnLake.com. Welcome.
Well, hey there. Hi there. Mark from Autumn Lake here.
What's that?
What was the snort?
Mark.
I might have. See? That's what I was waiting for. It's okay.
Man, I feel like you just Urkeled out on me, man. What the hell?
A little bit. Yeah, I do that.
And also, a special guest this week, we have Jules Rivera online with us of Marsh Rocket, the webcomic at marsh-rocket.com. Welcome.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Awesome. Hope you feel that way when it's over.
Hi.
I'm presently going down our refined Webcomic Beacon show format, and I already screwed up everything. First, I must say that we are the Webcomic Beacon, episode 60 at WebcomicBeacon.com, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network webcomic community at RampageNetwork.com. Right now is when we'd go through paid sponsorships, and if you'd like to give us some money and get advertise the show, now is when we'd talk about it. But since no one did, we're not going to talk about you. So, just a quick give some...
To throw a dog a bone.
I'm going to give some thanks, though, to some contributors to our show. Thanks to George of DungeonLegacy.com for doing our note-taking. And thanks to Witchy Bunny for doing our vocal announcements, which we splice in and been using for a long time in this show. And from the beginning of the show, I'd like to thank my brother for designing all of the music. Not for the show, he just had some scrap music lying around when he used to make music, track music. And I asked, hey, can I use some of these clips? He's like, okay. And so...
Okay.
And okay. Thus we have our theme song.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. This week, we're talking about coloring, and I'd like to take many of these different themes, like coloring or ways of doing art, and do a showcase with the particular webcomic and webcomic artist. And we're talking about coloring as a main focus. And this week we got Jules Rivera of MarshRocket.com, Marsh-Rocket.com. There's a dash.
Not too particular about the dash. I own both domains.
Oh, you know, okay,
the one
cool.
Without the dash too. Yeah. So yeah.
All right, MarshRocket.com.
It doesn't matter. I just happen to advertise the dash because for a period I didn't have that. I mean, I had the dash because I got locked out of the first domain and it was a mess. But both domains work now. So
awesome. All right, your job right now, Jules. Sell us on this webcomic. Give us your pitch.
Okay. Marsh Rocket is about corporate mercenaries, and they're all after a particular briefcase. And our story opens up with our hero, Marsh, title character. And he is offered a... starts off the series being put in this dilemma. Okay, this loan shark wants him to get this briefcase. If he takes the job and gets the briefcase, his regular boss is going to have... you know, who's going to have his head. But if he doesn't take the briefcase, his loan shark will break his legs because he owes him money. Mm. So Marsh decides to take the job from the loan shark, go after the briefcase because he finds out other reasons why he needs to go after this briefcase, and it opens up in giant can of worms. And the story also follows a few other characters as well. It doesn't always just center around Marshall, because if it did, it would be really boring. Mm-hmm. It also follows Victor Black, who is Marsh's mentor. He's a master assassin. He's the all-around badass.
Is he the one that's... I kind of lost track for a while. Is he the one that's in that cool suit?
Yes, he is in what my readers have dubbed in the shout box as the quote "I win" suit.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I know. I thought that was cool too. So he's the guy in the "I win" suit, and if you read Act 8, he's the guy also with the hedge trimmer. And we follow him, and he has a lot of dirty dealings on the side. He has the best of intentions, but the most cold-hearted of executions.
Right.
And by executions, I mean just that. Then we also follow someone who turned out to be an unintended source of hilarity, but nonetheless, a lot of laughs were had. Ross Tiburon, who is the boss of Victor and Marsh, and Ross has his own troubles to deal with. Mm-hmm. In that his father's in jail, he's pressuring him to, testify, and there's a legal testimony, and then he gets into a car accident with a crazy Steve Jobs lookalike. That stems from a really hilarious story I heard from somebody who actually worked at Apple. And that became Ross's entire foil right there. How he deals with this car accident, how he deals with his family, and so on and so forth. And right now we're nearing the end of the series. The series was intended for 9 acts, and we just started Act 9. So we're winding down. We should probably be done by about May or June. I don't know why I'm saying we. I'm the only person working on this thing.
I don't know.
I keep thinking of some kind of important organization, and nope, I'm just a jackass with a website. Sorry.
Royal we. It's the royal we.
And,
we are not amused!
Typically, this isn't a type of a webcomic that I would read, but one of the things that...
What do you read?
What? I guess looking through my
would you insult the guest best? I wouldn't read your webcomic.
No, it's
your
a compliment.
The suck. It sucks.
It's
so
a
bad.
Compliment. I said I normally wouldn't read this
compliment
type.
Part.
But this is definitely one
compliment.
Minnesota compliment. He has to start around the whole. You know, you go through the orchard, and then eventually you get to the apple. He'll get there.
Hey, you need to run and frolic first before you go what you went there for. No, it's my type
what?
Of...
just, below
the question is, my type of webcomic is, thinking through my arc, my bookmarks, I guess they're a little bit more people I kind of have to read their webcomic, and I guess more so like fantasy stuff or just fun da-da-da-da-da stuff, but something more serious is not usually something to read, but what something that really pulled me in was the colors. Like, boy, this is really kind of cool. So it got me to look more. It's like, and actually, I really started getting into the story. And I love Rose. I love the character Rose. I love her. She's awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. I've always been wondering, like, geez, do readers just hate this girl or something? Because really? I have had some angry comments here and there, like, oh, she's too much of this and she's too much of that. But I wanted to make her not only not damsel in distress, but a freaking knife-wielding psycho.
I wanted her
to be a threat. A very, very credible threat. Because, in a lot of action stories, you see a girl, and she's cute, and she knows how to wield a gun. But she doesn't cut your face like Rose would.
Yeah.
She doesn't just go after you like, you will die. I will kill you, and you will die from it. And yeah. So I decided to make her incredibly tough.
I appreciate that. I do.
Thank you.
Yeah, because it's up close and personal. It's none of this, distant poison, shooting kind of assassin thing. She's in your face.
She's not passive aggressive, by the least.
No, not passive. Oh, no, she's very, see, the great news about a character like Rose is that she's very, very upfront with how she feels, as long as those feelings are very negative. Like, if she can't stand you, if she doesn't like you, you know it very quickly. But yeah. When it comes to the more softer, tender emotion, she's kind of, I don't know how to express this. I can't use knives to express this. How do I say it?
Wow.
That's awesome. Is Marsh Rocket the only comic endeavor that you've done so far? I mean, what's kind of your history?
It's my first really serious attempt, yeah. Certainly not last. It's by no means going to be the last. I'm going to take a couple of months off after I finish off with Marsh and start up on another series. But it's I've only done a couple of, you know, little short stints here and there for other people, but this is my first real project. And the reason why it's my first project is because it took such a long time to get off the ground, and it took me a long time to, I guess, I don't mean to sound cliche, but find my voice. Because you kind of, as an artist, in order to do a comic, you have to be very, very consistent in order for it to be viable. Because that's the problem with a lot of web comics is that they start off with one art style and then they end up with another. Well, right. I had always intended for Marsh to be published or at the very least put into some kind of print. And it was very important to establish my style first before I really gave it a go. This is my fourth attempt at trying this comic, by the way. Oh, I don't know if that many people know that, but this is literally my fourth attempt. There were a couple of half-hearted attempts back in 2003. They only lasted like 7 pages. another attempt went on for about a year and some change, almost coming on close to the 2-year mark. And then I looked at my archives and I was like, you know what? Artistically, this thing is not consistent and it is not where I need to be if I'm going to put this thing into print. So I scrapped it. And I started over.
You still have them?
I'm not going to let it see the light of day, but yeah, I still have them.
would you put these up online somewhere at some point? Just for shits and giggles?
Like the old archives?
Yeah.
All of them?
Yeah. Some people like to see that old crap.
The rest of us feel better, really.
Yeah. how about a comparison, an extra on the site?
Yeah.
Like, hey, here's this page that I did back here, and now here's what I'm doing now, just side-by-side comparison.
Great.
I suppose I could put that in an extra section, yeah. But the storyline also changed pretty dramatically from that third attempt to what I'm doing now. So it's not a one-to-one comparison that I can do. But I can show some of the older artwork, and it's funny. Even some of the artwork that I did at the very, very end when I finally settled on binary inks, just straight black and then white – and no gray shading. Even that, I look at that and I'm like, wow, even that kind of sucks compared to what I'm doing now. Wow. I surprised myself. But yeah, I suppose I could put up some of that older stuff.
Well, that would be great.
Everything is a progress. I have so many balls I'm juggling in the air. It's not even funny. Like, I'm trying to put together t-shirt designs, and I'm trying to get these little stupid money dolls put together.
You need a t-shirt design with somebody, like, getting their head exploded or some death. I think that'd be... No. The hedge clipper scene.
I know. That's totally going to have to make it to a t-shirt. I know that.
Or
that was a huge crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
And you know the funny part about that whole hedge trimmer attack scene is that I practically phoned that in. That month, I had moved across the country to San Diego, and I was just struggling to get by. I was like, okay, I got to finish this page. I have absolutely no resources. My scanner had broken, and the only other scanner I had was in transit. It literally took a month to get my stuff, so I was pretty fuming about that. I didn't really broadcast it on the website, like, blah, blah, blah. I don't have my stuff. Everything sucks. I'm not one of those creators, all right? There's some folks who love to vent every little aspect of their life on their websites. I'm not one of them. But yeah, it took me a long time to get my stuff. I didn't have my drafting table. And, you know, but I just made it with what I had. So, yeah, if you'll look on those hedge trimmer scenes, the backgrounds are kind of lacking. They're just this really boring brick basement. They're not special, but nobody cares because it's all bloody. So, I get away with it.
Yeah. Which act was that in?
Eight.
Now, people are asking for it. Okay, so if you want to know, I'm not going to give you the link. Just go right to Act 8 and read through it. But I recommend reading from the beginning. But
yeah, you're going to be lost unless you read from the beginning. And I think that works against me as a webcomic when I ask readers, okay, yeah, I have a really great piece of work, but you got to start all the way back here. Most people, when they read webcomics, they just want a quick one-shot experience and call it a day. Like a good example of that is the Book of Biff. You don't have to read the whole archives of the Book of Biff, but you just pull it up. It's funny right there, and that's it. And it's very simple. There's a lot of strips like that, but Marsh Rocket is not meant to be a strip. It is meant to be a graphic novel.
Right.
It just happens to be online because that's an incredibly cheap and efficient method of distribution.
Right.
Yes, it is.
Although the books, I do have printed books as well, and I gotta admit, they came out very sweet.
Oh.
Yes, which are on sale right now. Let's see. Going to the store here. You got volume one.
They're not volume one. They're book one. I have to specify because about a year ago, I put out an actual volume which cataloged acts 1 through 5, mm-hmm. the prologue, and the interlude. It was a huge book. It was like 200 pages. But then my printer decided, okay, I'm going to jack up my prices. And I was like, I can't print any more books at these prices.
Is that still ridiculous. Available, though, the one I'm seeing here for $10?
Oh, yeah. The $10 one is still available. I have plenty of copies of that. That's a black and white one, though.
Oh, okay. So yeah. You want book one and book two, which are available right now at Amazon.com. Book 1X, 1 through 3, book 2, 4 through 6, $16 each.
They're color and gorgeous.
Yeah, definitely. Gorgeous. Because I want to talk to you about the color. Where'd you get that idea to use a color scheme like that? We were just like, I don't want to do it all. Just some of it.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I was like, okay, I'm the only jackass that's going to be working on this thing, and I'm not going to have any help with it. Most of the time when you have people working on comics, if you look at the credits of your average book, there's like 6 guys working on it. One guy for pencil, one guy for inks, one guy for colors, 2 guys for lettering. One of those guys happens to be somebody's cousin, because that's the only way he gets a lettering job. and then there's an editor. There's like, I'm wearing the hats of about 5 or 6 people, so... I wanted there to be some kind of color, because like I mentioned, at the end of the third attempt at Marsh Rocket, I had settled on binary inks, black and whites, which still show up on the comic now when I absolutely run out of time. It's time for my update. And I'm like, okay, well, I have inks. Here's the inks. So you can see what that looks like whenever I run late, which happens fairly often. But I settled on those binary inks, and when I was rewriting the script, I noticed that a lot of the characters made references to Marsh's red hair. So I'm like, okay, I have to have some kind of color going on here, but if I do this whole thing full color like the covers are done, then I'm going to lose my freaking mind and the pages are never going to get done. So I thought, okay, let me compromise. First, I thought of the Sin City approach, which is just take everything black and white, but only one thing red or one thing blue.
Right.
And I started twiddling with that. The prologue is pretty much where was my proving ground, where I had to settle on, you know, what to do about this thing. And I remember, bouncing some ideas off of people and getting some advice. And my husband happened to be in the room as I did this. I think on like page 2 of the prologue, because I remember I had to add page 1 in because page 2 didn't explain enough.
Right.
Page 2 of the prologue, I have all the shoulders and they're shaded in flat shades, you know, basically colored with no shading or anything like that. And in Painter, if you're working with vectors, if you switch the colors of something in this vector, you can't change it back. So I accidentally switched out all the colors and made everybody orange. And I'm like, holy crap, what did I do? And my husband turns around. He's like, oh, that's actually kind of cool. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, So that started the idea of just working with schemes. And the prologue is really where I just started feeling out the space and experimenting and futzing around and seeing what could be done. And I had a lot of fun with it. And any color scheme that incorporates some kind of use of hot pink or red is always my favorite. Just some vicious shot of red in your face, especially for bloody scenes. Oh, that's just my favorite. That's why I was put on this earth, to make red face color schemes. It's too much fun. Seriously.
I was curious what... maybe that kind of answers my question, but I'm just looking through from page to page to page.
Yeah.
And I was curious what drives the color choice from update to update? Just something you picked out you thought were cool, or...
Sometimes it is. Sometimes, like, there's a set in Act 2. It's always by scene, so you know where you are in the story. Whenever a scene changes, the scheme is going to change. That's a given. Unless I do something, what is called a split scene, where I'm showing 2 simultaneous events happening, in which case, one event will be one scheme, and the other event will be another scheme. I only do this twice in the comic, but I thought it was really a cool idea, and it helps the eyes a little more, too. Yeah. But anyway, sometimes it's a matter of, okay, what haven't I done? And other times it's a matter of, okay, is this a happy scene? Most of the time, more businessy, talky scenes are blues and cooler colors and mm-hmm. kind of beige and just kind of boring colors. But, you know, the action chop-socky scenes are always going to include some kind of red, orange, fiery, you know, hot color. That's yeah. generally the trend.
And I love
but
that.
Sometimes it's just how I feel, you know?
Right. we gotta take a quick break right now because it's break time. So oh yeah, that's right. I have a where is it? Click click click. Oh wait, here we are. Okay, first we gotta take a quick break, and that was when I prep whether or not we're gonna have a webcomic review after the show. But as Mark has none, we will not. When we come back, we're going to continue talking with Jules, and, well, I guess that's pretty much it. All right, we'll be back.
Thank you for calling the hotline for thegeekmedia.com. If you are a fan of social media, podcasts, machinima, video games, or music, please press the number 1 and someone will be with you soon. If
you are not prepared,
please dial 0 and an operator will be with you shortly. Thank you again for calling thegeekmedia.com's customer service hotline. And please remember, we're always available 24/7 at www.thegeekmedia.com.
It reminds me of the tinting in silent films. Where yeah. they would take, like, nighttime would be all blue, the desert would be yellow.
Right.
There's a fire in the fireplace, the whole scene is red.
Or orange, yeah.
It's very cool. I always wanted to do, like, to do more just two-tone. Or, you know, one tone or something like that, but I've never gotten around to it.
Problem is it actually takes skill to do this.
Yes.
make it look like a big muddled mess.
Well, admit it, this is kind of a shameful thing for me to admit, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it anyway, because it's not like it's any secret, but I got a lot of my start with art in drawing anime characters. I loved anime at one point, and I kind of love it still, but, you know, the bad writing turned me off.
Yeah, it's pretty bad writing. It's smarmy.
The writing is really, really terrible. Most of the characters are very, very derivative. They're very cookie cutter. And the women don't even get me started on how much the women irritate the crap out of me. I don't even know where to start. The only series that I've been able to watch who has a female character that doesn't make me want to claw my eyes out is Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex.
Yeah.
That's a cool series. That is cool. So having had a lot of experience with just straight cell shading, that makes the transition to something like these crazy color schemes a little easier, because then it's like, okay, shadows over here, that's going to be darker color. Highlights over here, it's going to be a lighter color over here, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. There's kind of a method to my madness.
I'm just looking through, and I had noticed a little bit of that, because some of the, and I can't remember his name, but the guy who did the character designs for things like Star Blazers.
Armin Tamzarian.
Yeah, I see a little bit of that in the eyes here.
That's totally not it.
Just a little bit, you know. Of the
okay, I don't know who does characters for Star Blazers. Well, what the hell? We have internet right here. Wikipedia, hello!
It is reminiscent, yes.
It's mostly the eyes, I think. Maybe the jaws, kind of. A little bit, and it depends. So
it's probably on the eyes, because they make the jaws look like, you know, actual squared off jaws. Let's see, Star Blazer, blah, 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 Space Battleship Yamato, blah, 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 blah. Let's see, Leiji Matsumoto? No? Okay, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
This guy's colored blue like a gamelon.
Give her the link. What?
It's weird.
He's colored blue like a what?
Like a gamelon. The gamelons were blue in Starblade.
There we go. I threw the link into the chat room of something I found on Wikipedia. And you know it's going to be totally made up. Spaceship Yamato was made by George Bush after he flew to space on a rocket ship.
Well, it did have a big It did have a big energy gun that would destroy stuff and wipe out the bad guys every week.
Ooh.
And well, it's a space show. That typically goes with the territory.
George Bush with a big gun. That's not...
Let's not
a safe thought.
Dick Cheney with a big gun is even scarier because he knows how to aim the thing.
Well, but
right,
he falls asleep. You know, he falls asleep. I mean, he couldn't manage to stay awake during the 13-minute speech. Come on. I'm not afraid of Cheney anymore. He just falls over.
Yeah, it's true.
He's like a narcoleptic guard dog. How scary is that? Yeah.
That's true. I never thought of it that way.
They pulled his plug.
Literally. Dark. He just powered him down to sleep mode.
Uh-oh. We lapsed into politics. Fess isn't watching.
Huh?
Oh,
what?
Oh.
What?
Hey. Hey.
What? Huh? What? Huh? What kind of training do you have in art?
I took one drawing class in high school. That's about it.
It's mostly self-taught then?
Yeah, I'm mostly self-taught. I just have the drive to just keep getting better and, you know, keep seeing, okay, well, I didn't do that well. Maybe next time I'll just try to do this, that, and you just have to want it. You know, you just have to want to get better and figure out how to get better. I've talked to people who are like, well, I want to be an artist, but I'm not very good. And I'm like, well, I didn't start off very good either. You just have to keep going.
Right.
I'm so envious because I have no grasp of anatomy. That's why I do cartoony people. I do. I have lots of books. It doesn't help.
No,
What?
Say that again.
Well, everyone's looking at my link. I might as well look at Mark's link. What's your link, Mark?
AutumnLake.com.
AutumnLake.com. Okay.
If you're really interested in human anatomy, I absolutely recommend the...
We know you're interested in human anatomy, Tanya.
Oh, in drawing human anatomy, Mark. I absolutely recommend this series.
You'll find some of the hardest things you'll ever do in anatomy are just hands. Hands are such a pain.
Miserable.
It takes a while. After a while, if you just do it enough, then you're going to find that you just know what they look like.
Check out on YouTube the structure.
Hands are like dust.
Check out the structure of man. And there's, I think, 12 different lessons that are available free on YouTube, or you can buy the whole DVD series of 45 lessons. And it's really worth it because it breaks it down almost into an alien format so that you're not hung up on the fact that you're drawing a human body. And it does actually make it a lot easier.
You just have to break it down step by step. You know? Any books by Andrew Loomis is also very good, too.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say it's a little bit weirder for those of us that do the three-fingered hand with the thumb. I will say that if you do that, if you're going to do a close-up of the three-fingered hand, add an extra finger because it looks creepy as hell. It does. It looks so wrong and creepy when it's close-up. But anyway, yeah, that's about it.
If that were me trying to draw a three-fingered hand, you just have to make sure that the three fingers on the hand itself are just really wide and chunky and really round and cartoon. Yeah, because if you make them normal and, you know, like an average human is supposed to look, then it just looks like you're missing a pinky.
Yeah.
I was in an accident.
Yeah.
Everyone was in an accident.
Yeah, and it's good to know if you have characters who are missing appendages or fingers or, in my case, toes, because, you know, Marshall is missing a couple of toes. And who knew that actually works his advantage at one point in the story?
Yep. I think
when life gives you lemons, you make storage space.
Oh, that's terrible.
All right, children, don't go hacking off toes for storage space. That's what pockets are for. Let's not get crazy.
So it's basically after you finish Act 9, that's going to be the last book of the series?
Well, no, it's not going to be the last chapter. There's going to be an epilogue because I have a prologue. I have to have an epilogue.
Yeah, yeah.
Epilogue's going to be about 8 to 10 pages. I haven't scripted it out yet, but I know how.
And that's in book 1 as well, right?
What, the prologue? Yep.
Yeah.
Prologue is included in book 1. Book 2 gets the extra interlude, and book 3, I'm going to have to jam all this in. I have to have... 2 of the longest acts I've done, plus the interlude with Ross's family, plus the epilogue. So I'm not sure how I'm going to fit everything, but I guess I'll make it work.
Make a book four with tons of extra art and content? I don't know.
Oh, God. Oh, I hate crap. I mean, if it's just filler, then, oh, God. No, it's not worth it.
Okay, wait. Art and sticker book. There we go. End it with the...
Yeah, that's nice. An art and sticker book.
I've never tried to print stickers, but... Well, yes, I have. I've been passing out stickers all around San Diego the last couple of days. But, you know, like a sticker book, I'd have to look into that.
Oh, and color by numbers, connect the dots, because
that people... Connect the dots, kids. What do we have? It's a hedge trimmer. Yay!
Yay!
That looks like a guy's speed.
Yeah. Let's not. I'm just, you know.
That's another thing that kind of stands in my own, I kind of get in my own way because I have such a violent story that when local people hear about, oh, she's a comic book artist. Yeah, come over here and show these kids your work. And I'm like, oh, Jesus.
God, no, please.
I find myself having to get 8 toes. PTW Bar 1 asks how many toes does Marsh have? He's got 8.
Yeah, he's actually talking about, you know, a children's book. It's okay. Like a little activity. How many toes? Let's count.
One, two.
There are 8. There are 7 prostitutes. Somebody had to do that episode.
They have 4 diseases.
That's terrible.
I'm sure you can set up a Venn diagram of prostitutes to have the diseases.
Tab A, slot B. It's going to be a bad book.
Yeah. I love just to hold it.
I can't wait.
Nice.
You also have posters for sale?
Yep.
To change the subject?
Yeah. Yeah, I got posters for sale as well. Put an order. I ship it. The end.
Oh, that's simple.
Yeah.
You can find us all at marshrocket.com. Click on store.
Yeah, it's in the store. One of my New Year's resolutions was to add more stuff to the store because last year I was so hung up on printing books. And selling books to people who cruise my website is kind of ridiculous. It's kind of like selling an ice cube to an Eskimo. So I'm thinking, okay, I need other kinds of swag on here now.
Yeah.
And I'm one
stickers.
Of the worst marketing. I'm one of the... Yeah. Checks in the mail.
Pass them out. You can sell them too. You'd be amazed.
Yeah, I know. But for right now, I'm just passing them out to local stores, so local stores get hit to the square because you can't market to stores the same way you have to market on the web. It's a whole different world. Yeah. You know, show up in person, smile, look pretty, don't smell horrible. You'll be fine.
That
actually is a lesson that hasn't really made its way through the conventions yet. The smell.
Oh my God, I know.
That's what.
When I did MegaCon back in 2007, oh man, the stench. Yeah. Supposed to. Oh my God.
About the fourth day of Comic-Con International, there's a cloud. It's just physical. You have to push your way through.
I'm kind of hoping I get a cold for that day. I'm kind of hoping. Just
You know what? Actually, the con cred works in your advantage at that point. I'm really looking forward to being sick after Comic-Con International on my way to Kineticon so that at least I'll have one whole convention where I'm like stuffed up. And I won't.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I really like your show.
I was gonna say, I think a T-shirt would be awesome, and I think maybe not taken directly from the comic, but at least a new rendition of the hedge clipper scene with maybe a little bit more. I don't know. You would know how to do it, and then like maybe the subtitled "I Win" underneath that or on the back. I think that'd be awesome, and I think people would buy that up. I mean, because I think the type of T-shirts and merch that works well is something that you don't need to know what it's to so much.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It has to be a standalone.
Guy killing people with hedge trimmer. Huh, there you go. Done deal.
Yeah, it makes yourself pain. It is.
I would buy that shirt. Totally.
You scare us, is what it comes down to.
Hey, I'd buy a shirt that says
"Scare me, you're my potential audience, hey. my potential buyers, hey. This is important. This is great, meaningful marketing information. And like I've already, like I've said before, I'm like one of the worst marketing people ever.
Marketing is difficult.
Do you advertise on Project Wonderful? I'm not sure.
I haven't been lately because I'm lazy. But yeah, I should probably start that back up tonight. Yeah, I've just been kind of lazy. I'm like, I'm tired. Because even just putting out the 2 pages a week takes out so much time that I could be spending sleeping on the weekend and just not doing anything. And this is essentially a second job that doesn't pay me anything.
Yeah.
So it's hard work. And so that is always going to take priority. Pages over anything else. But yeah, I should probably start that back up. I'm being a lazy ass.
I don't really know if there's not much more to talk about. We stayed on topic for the most part.
Ooh, see, that was our problem. Now we're out. We're done.
No, we have it. We're pretty much good. We covered the subject thoroughly. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap this up?
Okay, let's see.
Okay, wait. Here we go. Let me put it this way. You're in the last act. So the end's coming and an epilogue.
Yeah.
What about after that? Do you have some ideas of what you want to do after that?
I have an idea for a series I want to carry out. I think it would be hilarious, and it's not really going to be the same as Marsh Rocket because there is there's no color is so lame that there's only a half hour worth of saying about it. Hmm. Oh, bite me. Anyway.
It's coming from the chat room.
Yeah.
Is the Marsh Rocket
dissing my colors? It's going to be the same. Next series isn't going to be the same as Marsh Rocket. It's going to be more G rated. Just so if anybody asks me about what I do for comics, I will actually have something to show. Nice. It's going to be shorter than Marsh Rocket. It's only going to be about 4 books because I can't handle doing another long term series just yet. I just need to take a break, relax.
Would you revisit the Marsh Rocket universe in the future?
Yeah, I believe so. Oh, yeah. I feel like it definitely deserves a sequel series. And really, this whole series centers around really only about 24 hours in the life of these characters. And I feel like they deserve more time spent on it than just, you know, a mere day and a half.
I hear the 24 number ticking down from the TV show in my head right now. I could just picture that now. Tink, tonk, tink, tonk. There's a question. There's a question from the chat room that asks, "Do you have any?" Where is it? Let's scroll back. Da-da-da.
Oh, are you influenced by Euro comics, artists like Mobius, etc., heavy metal style stuff?
Oh, that's actually those are reasons to do Penguin Con.
Oh, yeah. Where is Penguin Con?
Somewhere cold, I'm gonna guess. But
I don't like cold. I don't like cold. The whole reason I did not decide to go to New York Comic Con this year is because it's effing cold. Oh my god!
It is effing cold.
I'm from New York City. I know how cold it gets in February, and I was like, oh no.
Oh yeah. Oh, no, how cold does it get in February? Was it like -50 like it was in Minnesota 2 days ago?
No, not that cold.
Why are you proud of that? That is not something to be proud of. That just shows you're not smart
enough. Go ahead. I can't expect you to remember this if you didn't know it in the first place, but I lived in Florida for 18 years of my life. I can handle really huge amounts of heat. Yeah, I can handle that fine, but it's the cold I just can't deal with.
I don't really
so
like
that's
cold.
Just the result of being acclimated to a certain region. You know, so, you know, they had a con in a volcano, I could probably do fine. The smell would not be so good. You know, you got sulfur with, you know, smelly people, but otherwise.
Do you do San Diego Comic-Con? Do you do Comic-Con International?
I'm talking to a guy right now to try and get a table at Comic-Con, but remember, I just got to San Diego, like, in October, so it's climbing up the hill, you know. I'm trying to find cons to, you know, get myself known and get my artwork out there and, you know, get people interested in my stuff. Because the majority of my production of Marsh Rocket took place in beautiful Melbourne, Florida. And you know what's in Melbourne, Florida? A whole lot of nothing for the comic book industry.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on, I would imagine.
No, it's basically, you know, it's a retirement town.
Oh. I was just going to say old people. Really, that's what's there.
Oh, yeah. Really old people. It's very lovely. The beaches in Melbourne are actually very nice, but it's just way too slow paced for me. And there's not enough interest in the comic scene as there is out here on the West Coast.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, does anybody in the forum,
chat room
have any more questions for me before they kick me off? Because apparently my colors are just not that interesting for you. I mean, does anybody at least want to know, about inks or anything like that? Because my colors stand out, yeah, but nobody pays attention to the fact that actually the most effort into any given page is actually inks.
Is this digital or is this done on paper?
The inks are digital. The last part of the process that takes place on a piece of paper is just the pencils. I draw everything out on pencil, I scan it, and then I ink it digitally in Painter, I color it digitally in Painter. Hmm. And then I just move it out, letter it, go, done deal. Have I ever driven a Mercedes-Benz? No, I have not. Which is why I think it's a wonderful car, because I've never actually had experience with one. It's like if you see someone who's really, really pretty, you're like, wow, that person's so pretty, I want to get to know them. And then you actually talk to them, and you're like, you're a really terrible person. I don't want to deal with you.
I like pretty girls. I still like them.
Yeah, talking Targo. To them is where the problems start.
I still like them.
Yeah, no. Why Marsh Rocket is a name? Oh, I'm not going to tell you that. It's stupid.
Read the book.
Sorry.
Is there a color that is just something you would not use for this choice? Like, is there a color that's just so garish you just reject it from your brain?
Yellow.
Like,
I don't think I've seen regular yellow.
Otherwise, it's in Act 4.
Really?
Act 4, page 7.
There's pale yellow.
You know the number.
Yeah, because I remember the scene. It's a fight between Victor Black and Stonefish. There's yellow in there.
Yeah, there is yellow. You've used practically every... I was trying to think of a color you didn't use, but yeah, you do have yellow.
I have yellow. I went kind of nuts it with green in Act 3, which I had a reviewer kind of ding me on that. They're like, what the hell is up with this crazy discotheque crap? And I'm like, okay, yeah, that was... I was never going to do it again. Yeah. Fighting! We're going to fight for the power! I guess the one thing I would not repeat is probably a heavy green scheme like I did in that Act 3. That was, maybe not the most brilliant idea. And the purples, not so much either. But other than that,
I actually like the purples.
The
purples.
Purples are good. You just can't do all purples. You got to balance it out with something else.
Yeah.
Like, there's a scene I just recently did in Act 8 where Ross has his final showdown with the Steve Jobs lookalike Damien Hobbs. Oh, okay, before you let me go, you absolutely have to hear the story that goes behind that.
Excellent.
But yeah, the showdown between Ross and Damien Hobbs is in purple, and I throw a huge red herring at everybody, and I was like, oh my god, that's so cool! And I'm like, yeah, because it's too obvious if Ross hits him in the face. That's too obvious. Cathartic, but obvious. Okay, so now my Steve Jobs story. This comes from somebody who did an internship at Apple. And basically, this is a story that gets passed around like a campfire story. I don't know if this is true. I highly doubt it's true. There may be some elements of truth to it, but I can't attest to any of it. I just know it's hilarious. the story does happen where, allegedly, I'm starting this off allegedly so I don't get... So don't get attacked. Allegedly, Steve Jobs gets into a car accident in the parking lot with an intern, and he just jumps out of his car. Rather than, oh, geez, we should trade insurance information, he just screams at the guy, what are you doing? You don't work for me anymore! Give me your badge! And he breaks the badge and throws it back at him. I just added the embellishment of him biting the badge in half. Because that would have been just, because my character is way crazy. He's absolutely nuts. And I thought, he started off as like an imitation guy, but Damien Hobbs just kind of turned into his own guy who's just all sorts of crazy. And I just feel like, I just feel like that deserves more spotlight. And I thought, well, I'm just going to embellish more crazy later. He only goes to white parties to eat gardenias. He's crazy, 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 crazy. And that's what makes him fun. He's a very fun character to write because he's just nuts. He's absolutely nuts. So at the end of that story, the campfire story, the intern obviously gets to keep their job because you can't fire somebody on the sheer basis of being a bad driver.
I see in Colorado you can. In Colorado, we're just like, eh, nope, screw you. You're gone. It's the end.
Okay. Well, in California, you can't get away with that.
Yeah. It's a right-to-work state.
Yeah, it's really,
that's a good
it's
really way to liberal. Work.
It's really liberal and hippie, and let's all talk about your feelings. I went to the DMV here. The language, there are, I swear to God, the driving instruction manual for California comes in like 7 different languages printed.
Yeah.
Damn hippies.
Oh, you don't speak another. Oh, you speak another language. Oh, it's okay. We'll give you the test in another language. And I'm like, dude, if this was Florida, they would have bounced you out on your ass. What? I don't care if you speak Spanish. Get out. Shut up.
Oh, jeez.
Or callate or whatever you crazy people say.
You can send your hate mail to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
You can send hate mail directly to me. I'm Hispanic. I can go ahead.
No habla permit.
No habla.
That's terrible.
Since you did driving, right? Heck with you. I'm only sorry I never found any room in the comic for Victor Black to have been confronted with a racially charged situation, because it's not a well-known fact. He's Mexican, and he just happens to be very, very tall. But I'm just like, man, wouldn't it be great if Victor Black could just punch a guy for saying something stupid? Or, oh, by the way, I served 20-something years in this country under your military defending your freaking rights. You're going to talk about the... You know, that would have been fun. But it's not stupid in this series, so...
Not this one. Maybe the next one.
Not this one. The sequel series, then, yeah, I'll probably...
We gotta go to break. we gotta stop. If you want, you can just stay on for when we do our news segment stuff, which is all the stuff that comes up next. Otherwise, if you'd like to go, thanks for being
I'll
with
stick
us.
Down.
Okay,
I'll stick around. Come on.
We're gonna go to break real quick, and when we come back, news.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com.
Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at WebcomicBeacon.com/live.
Don't believe him.
No, it does. There's a 5-second break between when I say break.
The thing is, he doesn't actually say when he's shutting it off.
He'll say, we're going
to break, and then he'll be like, okay, it'll be 5 seconds. And he means 5 seconds whenever he pushes the damn button. In between time, if you're saying all kinds of crazy things, it winds up at the end of a program.
So if I start going on about my furry fetish and how I love to lick toes, I should probably wait until 5 seconds after they say break.
That's already recorded, and we're already back.
Please, Jesus, see? Did you?
Private file that he will play.
Private.
even when we're done with the show, I'm still recording for the after show. But if there's anything questionable, I'll ask. Hey, do you want me to make this louder for people to hear?
I was gonna say. If you were gonna go on some schmarmy bullshit rant about how you make sure to ask. Well, you know, me and my vagina talkings need to have a chat, because, frankly, my mother really appreciated that. God.
That was funny. That was awesome.
Talk about whatever I want. My mom's never going to listen to this show.
We've got a new segment to the show, Mailbag.
Which is not at all suggestive
type. I don't know. He didn't tell me anything. Did he tell you, Mark?
No, this is specifically
over here, the hate mail.
This is specifically where I it's reminding me to, oh, hey, we got email. Oh, yeah, we should talk about that. we got some feedback. Let's see here. Oh, that's from December. Julie Sidor of webcomicsnations.com Strego writes in, "Hey, I'm the artist of Song of Strego. I'm at Fest at Folcon last year. I've been listening to The Beacon for 3 or 4 months now. Just wanted to write and say that I'm liking the show. Sorry for the next part. It might be a bit rambly. But I have to say the voting and fan service show was pretty funny. Also, the Fest is a whiny baby episode. I'm not chuckling at Fest suffering all that much. Mostly Tanya's reactions."
Because I wasn't on either one of those shows. That's why it was good.
The most useful for me was the imaging episode, but that could just because image quality is the most constant stupidest of her problems. One of the things I liked about the show is all your personalities contrast so much, mostly Fess and Tanya. Mark is the kind of goofy but wise neighbor, like Wilson from Home Improvement.
You can't see his face either because it's radio.
Which, by the way, prompted Mark to send an excellent little graphic of the Autumn Lake character, like behind the fence with Tim Allen in the front. It was very funny.
Yeah.
Would you like that?
We'll probably post it on the site sometime.
I laughed so hard the secretary came out to see what the financial officer. Everything okay?
I should have sent that to him, but I didn't. I just sent it to you.
I'll forward it to her, and I'll put it up on the website as well. Basically, she it's a nice fun nice. We thanks for the very much for the email, and she goes on to ask about did Becky the Beacon Girl die or something, because she's not doing anything anymore. It's like, well, I don't have time to draw something for each episode, but like I said, and I'm gonna make a post about this at some point. Anybody and everybody listening to our show that wants to do some artwork of a basic Becky presents the episode in some way or whatever, giving enough room for text and everything, you're welcome to submit it, and we'll use it as we need it. People that want to do something that's a little bit more particular to a show topic, hey, that's cool, and send us an email. And sometimes just some show topics just can't, they don't work for something really particular. I mean, how are you going to draw Becky and WordPress? That doesn't really make a, you can't really do that. But or get some of our guests to, you know, trick them into giving some art for the cover that they're going to be on.
And by tricking, you mean ask them extremely nicely, giving them 8 to 10 you know, chances to bow out.
That's me. I'm terrible. So thank you for your email. We also got an email from Sean Cook. We don't know. I don't remember. Sean Cook. This email is way too long, but it's essentially another. it is. It's like five big paragraphs, but basically he says he likes the little rivalry between us and the gig cast, and it's really we make it all up so we can try to get some more traffic that way.
Except if they really do steal our ideas.
I'm destroying it. No,
you're not supposed to just say that. You can't be frenemies if you're announcing frenemies all the time that you're frenemies.
No. Because we just, but still, we still steal from them. In fact, we stole the thing where we go on our website and we see who's sponsoring.
They steal from us.
Well, yeah,
they did.
It's interchangeably
stealing. They stole
stealing.
Me for a whole episode, dude.
Yeah.
We are so the Jack Benny to their Fred Allen. Okay, we are not Fred Allen. They're the Fred Allen.
Oh, hey, Mark, honey, I love you, but you're going to have to bump that up to a new decade. Most of the people who are listening are like 19.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know who Fred Allen is
either. Oh, my God. They had a big radio feud, and nobody remembers Fred Allen, but everybody remembers Jack Benny, and we're so to Jack Benny.
I knew what you were talking about, Mark.
I only remember Jack Benny because I saw parodies of him in Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Oh, my.
It's 12 and
wow.
A half.
I feel really old. How are you doing, Mark?
I love old radio.
Mark died.
I remember it so much. Say good night, Gracie.
Oh, good night, Gracie. All right.
Anyway.
What's the point here?
Sean was the one who tweeted us last week for milestones or whatever, where he basically just said, "Oh, we're now at cookbroscomics.wordpress.com, and is like, that's just a shameless plug. But then we ended up making fun for they're just using WordPress and not Comic Press or Webcomic or anything. There's just WordPress. That's it. So it's like Blogger. You know, they're just posting on each thing and says, you know, we gave him crap about that. So he's the one who emailed us back about that and said it was funny. Just to wrap that up, but to go on for stupid links, where is everything? Anyway, we answered his email. Thanks for writing in. Wanted to talk about things that we steal. We completely came up with this ourselves to look at our Project Wonderful ads and see who's sponsoring this week of the Webcomic Beacon. Looking at our Project Wonderful ads, our main header banner is Prepare to Die at onyxsparrow.com/prepare to die with underscores instead of spaces, and that kind of sucks to write out like that. But they are sponsoring us, they're advertising with us, so that's awesome. He's also the guy who works on the Wagon webcomic battle stuff that we've been talking about, and I think they're working on the next two decks, so that'd be kind of cool. Also, for our tower, I've mentioned this webcomic on the show before, is Galaxian, which is awesome.
I started reading that this week because you'd mentioned that.
Yeah. I actually like it, and I totally horribly described it improperly, correctly last time on the show.
Yeah. I started reading, I'm like, wait a minute. This isn't like Voyager. This isn't how character.
No, I said it's not like Voyager. But then again, I was totally wrong with the description because I'm still reading through the beginning because I jumped up in the middle and was like, I don't have time to read the archives. So I'm just like, I'm reading like halfway through and on. So I have no idea what's going on. But that's terrible because I'm doing color work for her as well, so.
Oh, way to go. So you don't even read her story, and then you're doing her color.
No, I'm reading it now.
Come on. He's reading it now.
Like right now. Like now.
Currently, while he's on the air.
Yep. Click, click, click. Okay, yep. All right.
There you go.
Anyway, so they are sponsoring the show. Awesome. Thanks for that. And please, if you feel like giving us more money to advertise on the show, or just want to give us money, hey, we are not going to say no, but
I sure would like to meet a girl like that. But that's another story, and hopefully doesn't involve money.
A girl that gives you money?
No. Well,
just a girl who doesn't say no. Wink, 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 wink. Elbow, elbow.
Nudge, nudge.
Nudge, nudge. Wink, wink. Sign up.
That's weird.
You start flirting for 30 seconds so you can finish the show.
That's weird.
Don't we have a searchlight?
We do have a searchlight, but I wanted to do some more shameless plugging first. For us, if you go to our main website and you click on advertising under on this site, you can find out how to sponsor or advertise on a particular episode for only $10 or $20, depending on what you're selling. Webcomics, $10. Every other type of site, $20. And so there you go. Give us money. Now, moving on, we're going to be moving on to the Webcomic Beacon Searchlight, which is where we go over a submitted webcomic to give our personal and quick impressions of. And this week, it was Riot Fish at riotfish.com. Did either one of you read this?
I did.
I did. I went through it here.
Go ahead, Mark. You can go first.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. It's weird, but it's gorgeous. Actually, it is. It's very, very nicely made. It's in this art style, which I always sort of liken to underground or alternative comics.
Yeah.
That's probably not the proper term for it, but that's what it reminds me of.
A little crummish.
A little crummish, not crummy. Crumb. R. Crumb.
So Robert Crumb.
Yeah. Yes. Or Harvey Pekar, I think, does it's a famous series. But that's what the art style reminds me of. It is a bit strange. It's probably not the comic for me because it's rather unusual in that regard. But it's very, very beautiful to look at.
Did you start from the beginning? Because it's like, it looks like there's two different comics on the site.
There's actually several.
I do find the sort of newspaper things are kind of kind of nice little parodies, and it seems to have a lot of variety in it as well.
Yeah.
I just kind of looked at the current one and was backing up and was like, hey, that's kind of cool. There's very small, short amount of dialogue. Well, you wouldn't know going by the first one here, but clicking back, it was kind of interesting. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Certainly something different. I guess I didn't read it as far back as like, I just clicked on first and was like, whoa, this isn't the what?
Really a collection of mini comics. You have complete storylines that are sometimes broken up with inserts of other mini comics, like you have the commercial parodies and things like that. It reminds me kind of like reading Johnny the Homicidal Maniac comics, where all of a sudden in the middle there will be Happy Noodle Boy, but then it goes back to the story. But it's really a collection of mini comics that are just sort of strung one after the other. Currently right now it's The Descender is the storyline. And then the first one was the newspaper comic strip, which is this guy who sort of becomes self-aware that he's in a comic strip. And it's very unique.
That's not unique. I've seen Breaking the Fourth Wall before.
No, not Breaking the Fourth Wall. The way it plays out with him, coming to grips with he has to get all of these thoughts out in three panels, and what is it I'm supposed to do, and why am I here, and it's almost existential.
It's
my biggest
clever.
Problem with the strip is that the images seem to load pixel by pixel. I don't know if that's a WordPress issue. It
sounds like a personal problem, Tanya.
It's not a personal problem. If by any chance you can set this up to where it preloads the pictures, that would be awesome. Otherwise, I don't know. It took a while. But I want it in print for some reason.
Weird.
It does. It does have that sort of collected print alternative comic feel to it, which is...
I want to touch it and think about it instead of just sort of grazing by it, which is what the internet's to promote, is pushing next, pushing next. And
don't get me started.
You want to touch it. Okay, moving on.
What did you think?
We got some webcomic news. We got
opinion.
I already kind of gave you what I didn't look at it as much, but it was kind of interesting what I saw, but I didn't see all of what was there to really make a full thing. So, but I'll be checking it for a while.
I didn't do my work, is what he's saying. Is that what you're saying?
No, I did. I just didn't. I just saw the current one that was up. I didn't see all the rest of the other stuff.
The furry ate my homework.
Anyway, we got some news, important news. Remember the guest strip project?
I do.
It has failed.
It failed.
It failed. After 9 months and 12 days, 134 artists had contributed to a success that was even surprising to himself, he writes. The strips were constant, having two donation-a-thons a month filled with daily strips about a group of police officers and their lives. The goal was to make it an entire year from April 1st to April 1st and to finish it. Each strip was on time. Each strip was regular as clockwork until today. And this was January 13th. As of Tuesday, well, I just said that, the guest strip project failed its mission. It failed to deliver a new strip and therefore failed in delivering its goal of regular webcomic with only guest strips. A massive feat in itself, but a feat that was doable. The project has raised a fantastic $84, which will be donated directly to the Make-A-Wish International Foundation through ad revenue and book sales. Another link was also included on the site to directly donate to Make-A-Wish Foundation. It was visited a massive 106 times. Sorry it failed. Thank you all for visiting, for donating, and even buying ad space and helping the charity gain some hard-earned money. Just sorry that it didn't continue. You bastards. You did not help. No, not you guys. I don't know if you helped. Nobody helped.
I did.
$84. Well... hopefully he'll start some other project up, and maybe that'll get going. But otherwise, all the heartless bastards that did not want to help out in this project, well, you know what you didn't
it's do. Good thing you're not in fundraising. Seriously. What the hell?
Hey, I go for that guilt route. And that was at gueststripproject.co.uk. Check out what was there and what could have been. We got some milestones to cover. Between Failures hits 400. I don't recall the URL for that one, but we've talked about that one a couple of times. It's kind of like people that work together as far as that type of genre. I don't read a whole lot of those, but that is I don't really. But that is one that's interesting and has redhead in it, and I like redheads, so that's another reason why I read it. Also, a 1 year
buttons are easy to push. That's the lesson of the day.
1 year anniversary for Circle versus Square at circleversusquare.com. So we got to get him on for a minimalist webcomic show, as well as Evil Couch. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
But in any case, that is it for going over the milestones.
Oh no, I have one.
Oh, you do.
I do. Moose Mountain Comics at moosemountaincomics.com by Mark Ricketts has hit 100 updates. They update twice a week.
Excellent.
Oh, we got some. Let me check my Twitters. From
Darcy. Sounds so wrong.
Darcy is asking, Fest, do you know you have an open invitation for Becky covers from me, right? Whenever you want one, just let me know. Okay, make one.
done. Notification sent.
Also, Carlisi, or however you say his name, of Carlisi. I'm sorry, I forget how your name, but the guy who does steal this comic also had offered, so I'm going to plug him because he said he'd be doing one for us as well. So yeah, we're looking forward to people submitting their covers, and that's free publicity right there. It's like if you don't buy ad space, hey, do something for us and we plug it.
Oh yeah, that's definitely a good way to get your name out.
It might be a good way to get us to force us to do certain topics too. If you have a pet topic, if you do up a cover, we'll be like, well, crap, we've got a cover. We might as well do the show.
Give me any ideas.
We got tons. Yeah, we have a topic list that the three of us have been generating, and we are up to 40 some ideas with stuff. So we're no short of ideas. It's just we're trying to coordinate who we can get on and what we can do.
We can always have more ideas, though. I mean, that's not even a full year. The 40-some ideas.
Well, I just added another one.
There's going to be some spectacular failures, I'm certain. And for some reason, those are the most popular episodes when we start screwing up and just blah.
But it's for the same reason people like reality TV. It makes them feel better about themselves to know that we're saying fuck ups.
Yay. Anyway, if you have some news, webcomic milestones, or art, or money to give us, you can contact us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Remember, if you don't send in your milestone, it's just a rock.
What? Seriously? Oh, come on. You guys do better than that.
Just saying.
Come on, man.
Just saying. If you don't send in a milestone, what is it? It's just a rock.
Well, yeah, I guess. That's pretty obvious. Oh. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I broke some kind of update record. I don't know. Probably this week. 300-something. Not paying attention anymore. buy a poster, damn it.
Yeah. I just got one more bit of news before we go. Remember Becky, the Beacon Girl? Well, she's not dead. She's doing a cameo in my webcomic at psiwebcomic.com where she's talking to one of my characters. It might be a couple of strips back when you hear this. I believe it's 285 or something like that, strip 285. I have one of my characters meet her, and it's during one of this character is kind of having a little breakdown. And Becky's just kind of sitting next to her, and she doesn't realize, and she's like, oh. and I have Becky saying, oh, hello. But she's a mutant, speaks sign language, so I actually have her doing the sign language hello. So it took a while for people to get that because
because people don't know sign language.
Because most people don't know sign language.
Well, no, I did it, and I also had a speech balloon with the angle brackets translating her hands, and some people didn't get it right away. I was like, oh, but yeah, that's Becky. Yay. I just wanted to say that because she's actually in a real comic somewhere and not just in a cover, smiling.
Now she exists.
But she will also appear in the webcomic Bacon. Is that not correct?
Yeah, if we ever actually, get that going.
Don't look at me. I'm busy.
I'm hoping in the next month to actually really kick it off solidly.
Solidly.
Solid.
Yeah. Let's go with solidly.
Solidness lovely. Sibin.
That's all for the Webcomic Beacon this week. This has been Fess of PSIWebcomic.com.
This is Tanya of Betapone.com.
This is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
And this is Jules Rivera of MarshRocket.com.
Thanks for everybody.
Which is also...
Yeah?
Thank you.
Which is also what, Mark?
No, awesome. Which is awesome. Not also. Said, awesome.
Okay, awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, don't just trail off. Don't just say, what
we
is
have
the difference between a
great ending? What the frack?
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
I was saying it's too simple to follow instructions like that. I was just trying to be
bitch.
Oh,
bitch,
I thought you
bitch,
were
bitch,
drawing.
Bitch.
In
no,
which case,
you
I was going to stop you.
No.
Well, I didn't know what kind of a jackass you might be.
I'm many.
It's
kinds.
A good thing we do a podcast so people will know, Bess.